So I was digging through some boxes that we had never unpacked from our move 2.5 years ago, and I found an old iPad, one I hadn't looked at for actually several years. I dug around until I found a cable, and I plugged it in and charged it up. And what I was most excited about is there were hundreds of pictures that were on this iPad that my wife had taken of our farm. Now, we no longer live on the farm, and so it was sweet. She took pictures every season, and so there were beautiful flowers in the spring and deep snowfall during the winter. But one of the things I especially appreciated was she took pictures of both our fields, our harvest fields, and our farmers who would come in and they would harvest our crops. And we had about 10 acres that actually were in crops. And one of my favorite crops, of course, was corn. They'd plant corn in the late spring and it would begin to come up. And of course, many of you know that the hope is always that it's knee high by the 4th of July and so green and verdant. And then it would grow up and then it would begin to produce corn. And then when fall would come, there would be the harvest of the corn. By this time, it looked dry and the corn had, if you will, corn cob had fallen a little bit down on the corn stalk, and they would come in with a combine. Now, I didn't know really until they told me that the reason it's called a combine is it was created, this big piece of machinery, in order to combine several processes in the harvest. So it cuts. It not only cuts, it then collects. And as it collects, it takes the husk off. And after taking the husk off, it takes off the corn so that up in the top in this bin, the only thing you have left is this golden corn. And it does. It looks like gold. And it's absolutely filled. And when they're harvesting, they have to do this over and over again. And what happens is when that bin on top of the combine fills, they would ride out to our driveway, which was very long. It was like a road, about 600-700 feet. And there they would have a truck. And then they would blow all the corn into the truck. And they would do that over and over and over again. I loved watching it. And actually, we have some videotape of that taking place on this particular iPad. Now, one of the things that I remembered was that not all the corn would get in the truck. Some of it would go on the edges. It would be in the road. And then as they would run back and forth across our driveway, it would crush up the kernels of corn. And by the time they were done, in would come the birds, but also our free-range chickens. And they would go up there and they would eat all of these cracked pieces of corn. And it was kind of fun to watch. Now, there are a couple of things I never actually considered, but I did when I was surprised by a phrase in Scripture, a Scripture I've read countless times, and yet this phrase stood out. Do you know that, and I'm sure you do, I never paid much attention to think about it until I saw this phrase in Scripture, that it takes the whole kernel planted in the soil to produce a stalk of corn. So when the corn is crushed or broken or cracked, it just simply can't produce. It needs the whole grain to then raise up into a corn that can be harvested. Now, I'm sure you're asking by this time, what in the world does this have to do with the Lord? Well, it's right here in Scripture. It's in a very familiar story. It comes, in this case, out of Luke chapter 8. And it starts with saying that Jesus was traveling from village to village, proclaiming the kingdom of God, and that he begins to tell a parable. Now, you know this parable. Here's how it starts. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Now, I'm sure you saw that, but for whatever reason, I never saw it before. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. I always had in my mind, you know, Jesus is saying the corn falls on the hard place, the birds come and eat the whole grain and take it away. And then he goes on and he interprets it by saying that it's the evil one who steals the message of the kingdom. But in this particular case, for whatever reason, Scripture added a detail. It falls along the path, it is trampled on, and then the birds come. I mean, it was just yesterday, I think, that I found this iPad and I saw this video and was reminded of what I thought was kind of a pleasant experience when the crushed corn in our driveway would attract the birds and even our free-range chickens, and they would have a feast. But there's a deeper meaning here, and that is that when the message of the kingdom is trampled on, when it is not presented whole, when it is not planted in the soil as whole grain, it simply cannot bear the fruit of the kingdom. It takes the whole seed to do that. It's probably over 100 years ago that A.B. Simpson wrote a book on the Holy Spirit. And in that book, he made this comment that if you compromise even one aspect of the gospel, it can, in fact, compromise the whole. It's almost as if he's saying that if you in any way decide you're only going to embrace part of the gospel, even though that part may be good, the fact that you haven't embraced the whole really compromises the message of the gospel, the message of the kingdom. Now look, we're well aware that at the centerpiece of this gospel of Christ, the story of Jesus, is the idea that he enters our world and he provides for us a salvation, a redemption. That once, as it says in Ephesians, we were far away. We were not part of the kingdom of Israel. We were not part of the covenants. But now, because of Jesus and his coming, we have been drawn close. And so salvation is about us receiving a relationship with Jesus that involves grace and forgiveness and mercy, and that we have a changed life. But it also means that we are to have a changed way of life. That we simply don't hold on to part of the gospel that says that we have been forgiven and that someday we will have a relationship within heaven, with him in heaven. But it also means that this salvation, this relationship, this whole gospel translates into a complete way of life. And I wonder if it couldn't be that there are some of us, or maybe better said, some representations of the message of Christ that highlight part, but not the whole. They highlight the part that God loves us and he forgives us, but they might leave out the part of that is to change our lifestyle, that we are to be more giving and forgiving and merciful, that we're caring about those that are experiencing despair and desolation, the disenfranchised. It seems to me that there is the possibility, and in fact it's more than a possibility, that some people preach a gospel that seems like it's all for their benefit, to give them more power, to enable them to have more gifts and goods, and to make their world safe, but doesn't necessarily share the importance of this translating into the care of other people. I want to go back. See, this is a place where Satan wins. I don't think the evil one is all that upset if we accept a part of the gospel of Christ. What he doesn't want is to see the wholeness of the gospel go deep into our lives. You see, it takes the whole grain planted deep to bear fruit. And when it's trampled on, oh, it may attract the birds. Jesus even said the birds will come. But it doesn't birth, if you will, that harvest that changes the world. Now, I want you to think about this. And I'm thinking about it particularly in the context of here in the United States, knowing that a number of you listen from other nations around the world, that there is a message going out, a proclamation of what is being declared as the Christian message. But what's interesting about it is it's part of the message. It's not the whole. It's the part that's going to benefit, the part that says we are unique, the part that says we are distinct, the part that says that we are to have power, the part that says that we are to be protected. But it's kind of leaving out the part that says that we are to care for the weak, the downtrodden, the disenfranchised. And you know that compromises the whole. There is a quote in a book by Leonard Sweet, and this book is well over a decade old, maybe even more than that. And in that book, he asks a question. Are we as believers to Christianize America in this case, or are we seeing the Americanization of Christianity? That there's a compromise, that in some way, this wonderful whole gospel of salvation and relationship and change isn't necessarily translated into a changed life that mirrors the life of our Lord, a life of selflessness and generosity and kindness and care. I think this is something worth thinking about. Do you know, it could be, as St. Bernard of Clairvaux said many, many centuries ago, that Christians accept God for themselves. They love God for themselves. Rather than loving God for God and then allowing that love to translate into a new way of life. It's amazing how that phrase jumped out at me, and I can honestly say I never paid attention to it before. The seed not only fell on a hard place, but it was trampled. It was broken apart. It always takes the whole grain to bear fruit, and we want to be people of the whole gospel that not just benefits us, but can transform the world.